everybody. This is Armand DeMille with you with the Facebook edition of The Positive Mind. Today, we near Valentine's Day, and I heard a very funny thing on a TV ad for Barton's Chocolate or something. It said, Valentine is not I love you, Valentine is I love us. And I thought, oh, how did they know that? That's what it is that each person says to each other on Valentine's Day. They say, I love us. I love the we of us. I love the we of we. I love it. I love the way we are together. It's not I love you, because you're you. You're a nice person and all that, and I could love a lot of people. But I love us. Now that is, unfortunately, a feeling shared by about 50% of the people. You see, there's usually one person who is the Valentine person, usually it's a woman, who says, I love us, let's have Valentine's Day, let's do something special. And a mate who's saying, sure, let's, I'll buy you some chocolates, I'll get you some flowers, and what else do you want? But to most men, the bonding that takes place on Valentine's Day is not natural, I think. And I think it's hormonal. I think it's kind of oxytocin versus the different neurochemicals working. You know, it's all different parts of the body. What one person likes, another doesn't. A woman will love chocolate in a certain kind of way, and men will like it in a different kind of way. It's all in our chemical balance. But we make things up about it. And one of the things we make up is, this is the day that we talk about our love. This is the day. He worked on Valentine's Day. How could he do such a thing? All right. Well, be it as it is, this is what we have. And now, what is love? What is this Valentine's love all about? And how do we know when we've hit it? And how do we get there? That's always the question. So for this edition, I want to teach you about love as if. It's early spring. No, it's not. It's late winter, as you all know. And it's cold out there, and I'm kind of looking for signs of spring. So what I did was I passed by a flower market, and I saw they had some daffodils that were forced. And so I bought the daffodils in 4-inch pots, and then I came home, and I had these little sticks of artificial plants, and I put them inside as well, inside the pots with the other plants, as if to say, hey, look, this is grown up, this is what you can look forward to when you grow up. And it looked cute, and the daffodils seemed to respond as they came up. But I thought about my life that way. I thought about love just like that. We love as if that twig that we had in our pot, those parents, those persons who brought us up, taught us what love is. We had to figure it out. Think about it. Here we are, we're children. And our job is to figure out how to grow up, how to be less powerless, how to get out in the world, how to find a mate, how to find all this stuff that a biological imperative is sending us out to do. So we look around us, and we look at our parents. And our parents are these what-if people, you know. They say, we are what love is. See, they love each other, your parents. There's your father beating up your mother, he loves her. There's your mother taking the beating, she loves him. There's the reverse of it. This is love, love, love. And this is what they call love relationships. And we watch it and we say, well, I guess that's the way you've got to be. And no matter how much you swear that you'll never be like your mother and father, you wind up just like them anyway. Unless you interrupt it, of course. Or unless you grow past it. But love is an imitation of what is. You see, love is like Valentine's Day cards. Love is like, let's make a model of it. Let's put it on TV. Let's build the right box. Let's get the right flowers. And this is what love is. Well, it is what love is, in a way. I mean, flowers certainly are love, and chocolate tastes like love. They say even the same chemicals that you feel in love, you feel when you eat chocolate, representative of love. Now, the real stuff. Love is not a state of grace, which everybody thinks it is. They think you reach for it. and you go for it, and you reach all the way up, and you finally grab it. Love is its growing place. It's a place where you grow. It's a place where you ache. Because if you let yourself love in your adult life, you're going to open a wound from early childhood, which is the times that you loved as a kid and you made the mistake and you were hurt. And there are all kinds of wounds and scars in there. Love threatens to open the abyss to the pool of tears that we've lived with our whole lives. That's why when you see people at weddings crying, or when couples who are in love with each other have tears in their eyes, it's the abyss of tears from the past coming out, finally being freed. There's a lot of overweight that goes on relationships with truth and honesty. Remember, the truth and honesty are well overrated. When we first meet each other, the last thing in the world we are is honest. The first thing we do is we present our best clothing, covering our broken bodies, or we put on makeup to hide our creakly faces and comb our hair so that somebody doesn't see us as our savage self. We do all of these things to say, don't look at me, don't look at me, don't look at me. And so the beginning of love is always fraud. So let's see if I can put on enough of a picture of me so that you could be attracted to the picture of me, and then I'll unfold the real me a little at a time. And when I unfold the real me, you'll see if you really still like it or not. But by then, maybe you'll be so trapped into the comforts of the fake me that you'll just stick around. So is that what love is, the stick around? How do you know if a couple really loves each other? How do you know if people love each other? You can see it in their eyes. If they're looking at each other if every time the other person speaks, are they looking with interest and curiosity and understanding, with patience? Or are they restless, darting about, even angry when they look at you? You can tell it's right in the eyes. But love is available. Just don't overrate the trust and the deceptions, because you're going to have to go through rough times. The rough times is when you discover that the image that you built to protect yourself wasn't true. It wasn't only the image of you, but the image of them. All right, it wasn't true. Can you deceive? Can you recover from a deception? Yes. In fact, recoveries from deception yield much deeper relationships than no deception at all. Because there's challenges. It meant I was scared. I did something I shouldn't have done. I was scared. I went elsewhere. I stepped out on you, I formed another relationship, I flirted, I hid money in the bank, I did stupid things, because I didn't trust myself to be with you, and I didn't trust you. Now it's discovered, here's the choice. I can either run away, or I can do it better, I can hide it better. And second choice, or the third choice is, maybe I'll get tired of hiding. That's what I think happens eventually in a real love relationship that survives. People get tired of hiding. And they say, well, what the hell? I'll just be myself. Now, I know a couple of old miserable couples who are miserable with each other, but they're tired of hiding themselves, so they show themselves to each other all the time. A flagrante. You know, flagrantly exposing everything they feel towards each other. But even though it sounds negative and miserable, if you look at them when they look at each other on a park bench, they look like the eyes of crows. They have these kind of looking eyes that see each other, and they're aware of the other person's position everywhere, every movement, and they are partners. And that's love. That's fine. So you could love nakedly. or you could love covered up. And most people love covered up. And I'm not recommending nakedly because it's you get cold from time to time. What I think we have a chance to do is to understand that it's an emerging process, that when we get there, it's not an end, and it's never an end, that love continues even after death, and that on a day like Valentine's Day, like today, or like these days, you just kind of pay homage to the gift that was given us, which is this ability to have access to this ache, this beautiful, beautiful ache, which we call love. Hey, this is Armand DeMille with you. You know, next Wednesday, the 14th of February, the 16th of February, is a special day because between 1 and 3 p.m. I'll be doing a program on WBAI 99.5. And if you would call in a donation during that time, it shows that you support what I'm doing. The Facebook page, all of it. It's 212-209-2950 between 1 and 3 p.m. exclusively, only during that time. Between 1 and 3 p.m., don't do it any other time because they don't record it. And it'll show your support for what we're doing. And if you can't do it exactly at that time, you can call my assistant, Thelma, T-H-E-L-M-A, at my office, 212-757-4488. She'll take your pledge, and she'll put it in during that time. It'd be great. The following Tuesday, following that, whatever date that will be, I'll be back on. So that'll be my next two programs for the month. It'll be another two-hour program. You could also call in during that time or instead. But do make a donation to the station because they're great and what they've done is fabulous and I'm so proud of them. So let's keep working. I'll be back with you soon, my friends.